Well, good afternoon. Greetings from the Eau Claire, Wisconsin congregation. Well, it's great to see everybody today, including some visitors from Eau Claire. We've all heard this phrase before. My God, why have you forsaken me? When hearing these words, the first thing that comes to my mind is Jesus saying these words during his crucifixion. Christ's words are recorded in Matthew 27:46. But did you know this exact phrase was recorded in the book of Psalms long before Jesus Christ spoke them? Please pick up your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalm chapter 22. And you can kind of hold your place in Psalm 22. We'll be going back to a few verses there today. But let's jump right into reading the first six verses of Psalm 22. The spring holidays will be here before we know it. Passover this year is on April 12th. As we move closer to the New Testament Passover and the days of unleavened bread, we think about those new covenant symbols of unleavened bread and wine. Those are the things that come to my mind, top of my mind. But we remember that Jesus delivered us from the wages of sin, which is death, and by his death and resurrection, we have that opportunity. Here in Psalm 22, we can find a living example in God's creation, pointing to Christ's sacrifice and death, so that we might have the hope of eternal life through him. So let's read those first six verses of Psalm 22. So Psalm 22, starting in verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you, they trusted and you delivered them. Verse 5, they cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. And then verse 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. The title of my message today is, But I Am a Worm. But I Am a Worm. So let's pause right here at verse 6 and consider that phrase, But I am a worm and no man. What does this mean? Well, most simply, you could probably think that he is lowly and below the feet of men like a worm. Is that what Christ is conveying here? Could partially be that he's lower than most, right, making himself low. I did some research on the type of worm referenced here in Psalm 22, verse 6. Is this a worm like an earthworm, like what we would dig up to go fishing? Like a nightcrawler? No, it's a completely different type of worm. The Hebrew word translated worm in this verse is Strong's H8438, Tola or Tula. The King James Version translation, it translates Strong's H8438 in the following manner. It translates it as scarlet 34 times, worm 8 times, and crimson once. So in summary, the definition here is a crimson grub. A crimson, like a rich, deep red-colored, almost a purple-colored scarlet, brilliant red-colored worm. The specific worm is called Coccus ileus, and it's found even today primarily in the Middle East. So, again, the Hebrew word for this worm or maggot is rimmah, R-I-M-M-A-H. But the Hebrew word Jesus used for this worm here is tola, which again means crimson grub or scarlet worm. I found it interesting that this same worm, Coccus ileus, is mentioned in Exodus 16, verse 20. And that's when the people gathered too much manna and it bred worms. It's the same worm, that same Coccus ileus in Exodus 16, 20. So now, here is the real interesting stuff. Let's learn a little bit more about this crimson grub or the scarlet worm. I think this is quite amazing. So when the female scarlet worm is ready to reproduce, which she only does once in her life, she attaches her body to the trunk of a tree, a wooden fence post, or a stick, and makes this hard crimson shell. The shell is so strong and permanently stuck to the wood that the shell cannot be removed without tearing the body completely apart and killing the creature. The eggs are then deposited beneath her body and this protective shell. And when the larvae hatch, they stay under the shell, under that protective covering. So the mother's body gives protection to her babies and provides them with food. So the larvae literally live on the body of the mother. After a few days of feeding on this living mother, the young worms grow and the mother dies. As that mother worm dies, the crimson scarlet fluid is produced in her body and stains the wood attached to it and covers the young worms with this crimson colored fluid. I read that this red covering also protects the young worms from predators. So it not only is a source of food, but it also protects them from predators. So there's a lot of symbolism here that I just covered. Let's pause and consider all these symbols of this crimson worm pointing to Christ. Does this remind you of what Christ said about his body and blood in Matthew 26? We can read a couple of verses in Matthew 26, verse 26. Take, eat, this is my body. In verse 28 of Matthew 26, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. In John 6, 53, right, Jesus said to them in John 6, 53, most assuredly I say to you that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in it. There is no life in you. In Matthew 27, 28, they stripped him, Christ, and put a scarlet robe on him, right, the scarlet again. And Christ says, I am a worm and no man, right? So back to the description of that scarlet worm. After some time, the worm loses its crimson color, right? So the babies have hatched, the larvae have come out. The worm loses its crimson color and it turns into a white waxy substance that falls to the ground like snow. Please turn with me to Isaiah 1, verse 18. Isaiah 1, verse 18. Let's read Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So I said earlier, maybe keep your place in Psalm 22. If we go back to Psalm 22, down to verse 14, Psalm 22, verse 14, says that I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. Here's the key verse. My heart is like wax. My heart is like wax. So Christ says, but I am a worm and no man. That worm loses its crimson color, turns into a white waxy substance that falls to the ground like snow. And Jesus died for us through his death. And that gave us the power of his sinless blood to redeem us from our sins. So when we repent, when we are baptized, when we receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands, we are as white as snow before God. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgotten. Nothing but the blood of Christ can clean the stain of sin, the guilt of sin, the pain of sin, the shame of sin. What an amazing symbolism this scarlet worm has for us. But there's even more. We're not done yet. From the dead bodies of female scarlet worms, the red scarlet dyes were extracted in ancient times and even today. This dye was used in the tabernacle for part of the covering and the garments of the high priest. This worm also contains a chemical that is antibacterial, and it was used in the formulation for the ashes in Numbers 19, verse 6, which was used for the purification when someone encountered a dead body, which would be a host for bacteria. So I think it's interesting because this crimson worm is necessary to make someone clean, which is another symbolism of removing sin. There are so many references in the Bible to Jesus being a healer. One top of mind is in the book of Isaiah 53, verse 5. Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And again, something we all read as we get closer and closer to Passover. So what a picture this gives of Christ, dying on a tree, shedding his precious blood that he might bring many sons to glory, right? Hebrews 2:10. Christ died for us that we might live through him. So let's touch on one final point today. When Christ was being crucified just before his death, what did he say? Right, he said, "It is finished." John 19:30, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Let's look back at Psalm 22 to the end of the chapter. We're not going to read through the entire psalm today, but I recommend reading the whole chapter sometime before Passover. It's a very powerful psalm. It helps us to understand Christ's mindset as he was and what he was going through. All this horrible pain, all this suffering in his death to make it possible that we might live. So Psalm 22, verse 31. Psalm 22, verse 31. "They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born." Who will be born, right? That's us, that he has done this. He has done this. Christ has done this, right? "But I am a worm and no man." So let's review all the things we just covered today. I know it's a lot to cover in a sermonette, but I only have a page and a half left, so we're almost done. So let's review. This crimson worm is symbolic of Jesus, symbolic of our Savior. When the female scarlet worm is ready to reproduce, which she only does once in her life, she attaches her body to the trunk of a tree, and Christ was attached to a tree and died once for all. The mother's body gives protection to her babies and provides them with food. The young feed on the living body of the mother, and Christ feeds us with his body and his blood. The worm stains the wood and its young red, that red-crimson color, and the red covering also protects the worms from predators. So Christ covers our sin with his blood, and he protects his children from predators, from Satan and the demons. After some time, the worm loses its crimson color and turns into a white waxy substance, and that falls to the ground like snow. When we repent, when we're baptized, when we receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands, we are white as snow before God. Our sins are forgiven, our sins are forgotten, and that's only possible through the blood of Jesus Christ. The red scarlet dyes are extracted from the dead bodies of female scarlet worms even today. And this dye was used in the tabernacle for part of the coverings and in the garments of the high priest. And lastly, this worm also contains a chemical that is antibacterial. And it was used in the formula of the ashes in Numbers 19, verse 6, which was used for purification. And by his stripes, we are healed. This worm makes the ultimate sacrifice, its own death, so that its children may live. And here in Psalm 22, we find a wonderful example in God's creation, the coccus ileus, or the crimson grub, symbolizing Christ's sacrifice and death. And I'd like to end in Romans 5, verses 8 through 11 today, talking about God's love toward us. Romans 5, verses 8 through 11. Romans 5, starting in chapter 5, verse 8. "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation." Christ has done this. He made the sacrifice for us. Through his broken body and blood, it's possible for us to be forgiven of sin and to be reconciled to God. "But I am a worm and no man."